the after lunch workshop, we will not fall asleep. Okay. If you wouldn't mind, those of you that are sitting toward the back, if you could move up a few rows, because the screen is a lot smaller in this room with the depth of the room. So, you know, if you have super duper vision, I guess you can hang out there. But if you wanted to come closer, you'd probably interact better. So I'll give you a moment to move
forward. We'll do jumping jacks.
Uh-huh. Yep. You'll be glad you did. This is Kirby Schuler, and Kirby is an Extreme Nazarene missionary. And to explain extreme a little bit, I did in my NMI workshop earlier, extreme is a grassroots missions movement that has risen up, and they do evangelistic church planting in cross-cultural context. And they're awfully good at what they do, awfully good. And there's been some question in the Church of the Nazarene of how to bring them under the umbrella of the Church of the Nazarene, or how to handle them best as the grassroots movement and let them be. So that is an ongoing discussion. But when you give to Extreme Nazarene or participate, you are participating in something that's very Nazarene. And just their money isn't directly accountable and held by the general treasurer. That's probably one of the only differences. When they plant a Nazarene church, it's built according to the manual, mm-hmm. and it's a Nazarene church. So if you feel called to do this, we shall see. Kirby's got a lot of great things to share with us today.
10% giving.
It's a 10% giving when you give to Extreme.
That is also true. Okay. Let's see if I can get this. Oh, wait. It's not turned on.
And Kirby lives in Boise, Idaho. Currently.
That is true. I also live in Idaho right now. I am from the East Coast, though, so I'm probably, well, I guess it's kind of equal distance from here, whether I'm closer to you now in Idaho or whether I was when I lived in Delaware. But nevertheless, this is my third time, I think, in Missouri, maybe fourth, something like that. So it's a pleasure to be back in this area with these folks. I definitely don't know all of you, but I'm glad to be here and glad to share with you a little bit more. My plans today is to share with you a little more about my call, helpfully help you to understand a little bit more about what a call can look like, and then tell you a little bit more about Extreme, some of the things that we're doing, and ways that you can participate with Extreme if you feel that is a place for you, or even in your local community, because I'm here to hopefully inspire you about missions in general, and kind of what that can look like in a variety of different capacities. So as was already mentioned, I'm Kirby, and I am both a mobilizer, which is a super fancy term for a recruiter, and I am the short-term volunteer coordinator for Extreme Nazarene currently. You probably have heard something about Extreme, maybe you've heard more or less, but I want to let you know that we have had, see if I can get this working. We have had some missionaries from your district that have been working with us, the Montgomerys, Tim and Rebecca, and they have been working down in Manta, Ecuador on a church plan. They will be wrapping that up next month, actually, and that is a really awesome team. I have been to Manta twice myself. I pretty much love all of them. Okay, so Stan's been once. And the team in general is really awesome, but they are leaving behind a really amazing church. They have been able to replace themselves in nearly every capacity, which is really our goal. And I'm just super proud of the whole team, but really excited that Tim and Rebecca are going to continue on with us in a different capacity. They'll be assisting with training and some other things that are still in the works, but they will be able to take a little bit of a break. Not sure exactly where they're going to be and when they're going to be there, so I don't want to say that part. Okay, July 29th at Stan's Church, if you want to connect with them. I know that they are going to take a small break. We encourage and actually mandate that they take a small break from us because they have been in super full-time go mode for the last 2.5, almost 3 years. So I just wanted to at least mention them because they do hail from this area, and we are very proud of them. As was also mentioned, we are always wanting to share more with folks about the mission call, and I will be sharing a little bit more about Extreme later on, giving you some stats and some information just so you have that. Now I want to ask you a few questions because I want to see if this actually pertains to you guys. All right. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to live in another country, speak another language, eat different kinds of foods? Do these things excite you? And are you a follower of Jesus? Do you want to make an impact on the world? And my favorite, can you touch just one heart with the love of Christ? If you answered yes to these questions, then I have good news. You're in the right place. I want to share with you just ways that you can experience all of these types of things and help change the world.
Yes. The answer to the last question is no, you have to touch every heart.
Well, yes, but if you can touch at least one, then you can make a difference. That was the point. All right, and let's see. Okay, I'm keeping up here. Now I'm going to share with you a little bit about my own journey, and I'm going to try not to get tangled up in this cord. So I want to share with you a little bit about how I got to be here in front of you. I was born and raised in a Christian family who participated in regular church activities. We went on Sundays. I listened to Christian music and radio, prayed regularly. Around, I believe, age 4, I chose to say the salvation prayer with my mom's help. I asked if I could do that, and then at age 5, I wanted to be baptized. Now, I did have a small problem. At the time, I had broken my arm, and they don't, generally speaking, like you to be wet when you have a broken arm. So I went through the process with the pastor of the church that we were attending at that time to prove that I indeed did know what it meant to be baptized, because they weren't sure that a 5-year-old actually understood, because I was asking to be baptized. So I had to go through the process, and he surprisingly came out and said to my parents, "She actually does know what she's talking about. And as soon as her cast comes off, I will baptize her." So I did get baptized. I might have actually turned 6, but it was either 5 or 6. I asked when I was 5. And life after that wasn't always smooth sailing. Around 12 or 13, we came home from church one day, and my dad sat us down at the table after our lunch and basically told us he was going to be leaving our family. And that kind of sent my life into quite a tailspin. Starting with the fact that I couldn't understand how this man who had taught me to believe the things that I believed and had, you know, instilled in me these desires to go to church and to believe in Jesus and all of these things was now essentially saying that all of that had been a show. All of that was not real. He wasn't actually buying into it. He was just essentially forcing us to do these things as a, you know, a fake look. It was what he wanted us to look like. And so I feel like at that point I had a decision to make. Am I going to cling to this man who now is throwing everything that I believe and know to be true upside down in tons of chaos? Or am I going to cling to this Jesus that I have learned to trust in and follow? And I'm very thankful to say that I chose to cling to Jesus. Amen. And it certainly was a rocky road, and I'm still working through a lot of my own pain and struggles. It's not perfect. I'm not perfect. But I am thankful to know that the Lord has remained faithful to me, even in times when I wasn't so sure or I wasn't so strong in connecting and staying close to Him. I want to step back one second now. So that was at 12 or 13. But there's something important that I didn't tell you yet. Around 11 or 12, I felt my first call and nudge to missions. That's pretty young, but remember, I've kind of been doing everything on a young scale anyway, so why not this too? I came to church one morning, and there was a big tour bus out in front. I'm trying to make sure I keep up here. There was a big tour bus out in front of the church, And I was like, what is going on with this tour bus? So I go into the Sunday morning youth group and find out that there's all these people that are gonna go get on this bus and drive to Mexico for a mission trip. Now, I don't know how all of the weeks previous, I never heard about it or it seemed to not make sense to me, but that morning, I literally snuck out of the youth group and went to my mom who's sitting in service and I said, I need to go to Mexico on this bus. And she looked at me like, what? And I was like, I need to go on this trip. I'm supposed to do this. And she's like, I don't think that's possible. But what that taught me was I didn't care at that particular moment that I didn't have a passport. I didn't care that I didn't have money. I didn't think about how I was going to have food or clothes or any of that stuff. If they had said I could get on that bus with nothing but the clothes on my back, I would have gone. Now, of course, they didn't say that because there's a lot of complications. You kind of can't get past the border without a passport. They don't really allow that. I was young, you know, I hadn't had any preparation of any kind. But I did know that that meant I needed to start looking for opportunities. And so my first mission trip that I was actually able to go on was at 15, and that was in the year 2000. Now, that trip was a little bit not what I had anticipated. I went with a Bible college, but we were taking surveys in France. So the quick story before that is I had signed up for a trip to Jamaica because I was like, I want to go south, to Mexico, but that wasn't an option, so I chose Jamaica. The problem was that I was one person and there was a church that signed up and they needed all the spots. So I got booted off the trip. And they came back to me and they said, well, it's late in the game, but we still have a few options and France happened to be one of them. Now, I had zero desire to go to France, but I had a friend who was going to France and she was like, you should come on the trip with me. And I was like, okay, well, it might be cool to be with someone that I know. So, okay, I'll go there. Definitely not at all what I expected. I learned a lot. It was probably the most scary trip I've ever been on. Not because I was 15, but because we had some pretty weird stuff happen. If you want to know more about that, you can ask me later. But when I got home, what I knew was that wasn't what I was looking for in a mission trip, but I wasn't giving up. And I knew that I still needed to find what it was that the Lord had placed on my heart. So I continued to look for opportunities, and in 2003, which was my senior year of high school, I went on a mission trip to Russia in January. Oh, I don't know if I have that. Oh, well, that's okay. You can see that too. I went on a trip to Russia, and when I came back from that, I knew that that was the kind of trip that I wanted to go on. I was there in January for 3 weeks, and it was the coldest and probably worst time to go to Russia, but it made a real big impact on my heart. And then before I was getting ready to go to college in the fall, so I was going to start in 2003 in the fall, before the summer was going to be over, when I got back from Russia, there was an opportunity to go on another mission trip to Mozambique in the summer. And my mom looked at me like I had lost my mind because I had already had to take time off during finals in my senior year to go to this trip to Russia. And she was like, you're going to go to college. How are you going to find the money and the time to go on another trip in the summer? And I was like, I don't know, but God's got this and I'm going. So I did. So that was another super impactful trip for me, and I just felt like the Lord was really moving and touching my heart and solidified for me that missions was something I needed to pursue. So I had chosen to look for a college that had a degree that would give me something in that realm because I wanted to be on the mission field, but everyone said, you can't go on the mission field right now. You have to go get an education first. My exposure was very limited to what options were out there, and I had been exposed multiple times to Wycliffe Bible Translators. They're a great organization, but I felt like that was my only option. So in order to go that route, I definitely had to get some education because you can't translate the Bible if you don't really know what you're translating. So they said, well, you need to learn Hebrew and Greek, and you have to go and do these things. And I was like, okay. So I looked, and I was like, well, I don't want to be super far from home. So I found a college, Houghton College, which some of you may know of. It's a Wesleyan college, but still in the same scheme of things here. And they had an intercultural studies major, which at the time was pretty up and coming. That wasn't something that very many colleges were offering. If I went to Houghton, I could not only get the intercultural studies major, but I could concentrate in linguistics and minor in missions. All the things that I would need so I would be ready to roll in 4 years. So that's what I did. The problem is that while I was in college, some things happened. One, I gained a lot of debt. This is a problem when you want to go on the mission field. So when I got out of college, now I have all the education, I'm ready to rock and roll, but no one will take me because now I've got all this extra baggage. So that was one problem. Another problem was, remember I told you back when I first got out of high school, I was ready and pumped to go on the mission field. I would have gone in a heartbeat. No second thoughts, no second guesses, didn't matter what it looked like or what it would entail. But now I had been in college, I had lost my grandpa during college, and I had this different mindset of, if I decide to go and sign up for 4 years, which was what at the time the minimum was looking like for Wycliffe, I needed to sign up for 4 to 6 years. If I do that, I'm going to be missing a lot of time and a lot of things. You know, I was thinking, well, my brother, he could find the woman he was going to marry. He could get married and he could have a child all while I'm gone. And I'm not a part of any of that. And, you know, I lost my grandpa. Well, what if my grandma gets sick? You know, I started thinking about all of these other things that before hadn't been on my mind. So that was kind of another big piece for me. And what I recognized was that during this, I had lost a sense of that childlike faith. Because remember, when I first started out, I was willing to go with nothing. And when I got out of high school, I was still willing to go with nothing or little to nothing and no securities. And now, you know, I've been educated and I'm thankful for the education, but along with that came all of this other stuff, you know? And so that was a bit of a problem too. I had lost this childlike faith to trust that God would take care of everything. And that bred a lot of fear in me. So that was kind of a really difficult space. I felt kind of pressured at this point to find a way to get rid of this debt, because I said, okay, I still know I'm called to missions. I don't know what it's going to look like. It's going to have to be different than what I thought, but I got to get rid of this debt. So I said yes to a position in Pennsylvania that was called Christ Home for Children. It was a residential facility for children and that were a part of the state system. They had been taken from their parents or given up from their parents or whatnot. And so I worked for them for 4 years. I signed a 4-year contract, and I figured this would at least help me to get rid of some of my debt. Now, it wasn't a super high-paying job, but I thought, you know, the experience, the exposure, I've done a lot of work with kids before, it'll be fine. Let me just tell you right now, that was the most stressful, most difficult 4 years of my life ever. If I had the opportunity to do it again, I don't know if I would. But I learned an immense amount, and it did help me start getting rid of some of that debt. My having worked there for that particular time caused one of my loans to become a grant that was forgiven 1/4 at a time over those 4 years, which didn't get rid of all of my debt, but it helped considerably get rid of a chunk of it. So there are definitely rewards that came with the compromise and the difficulties. Another great thing is that I happened to meet my now best friends then. I think that's my next one. Yes. And here's the cool part. If I hadn't gone to Christ Home, I probably wouldn't be here right now. Because it's a long journey and a long story, but the shortened version is that my best friends ended up moving to Idaho. I came out to visit them in Idaho. They had met someone in their church that they were attending that worked for Extreme. And they knew at that time that I was looking to get more involved in missions and to do something more full-time. And they said, well, we met this guy. He works for this organization. We're not really sure what they do, but we know it's full-time, and you should just talk to him. So we set up a conversation while I was there visiting. That proceeded to me meeting my now boss, David Morrison. And before I left, you know, like I went and saw the office and met them. And then the next month, so about a month after I initially met them, I went for an interview. And then 2 months later, I was offered a position with Extreme. So that's the really condensed version of why it was important that I went to Christ's Home for Children. It was kind of a crazy journey. Again, like I said, I'm not sure if I would do it all over again, but this is why the Lord had me go there. So I'm thankful for that step. Let's see. All right, now I'm going to tell you what happened after my years in Christ's Home before I got here. Because I was done with Christ's Home in 2011. And from 2011 to 2016, I wanted to do more missions work. Because while I worked at Christ's Home, they wouldn't allow me to go anywhere. They wouldn't give me 2 weeks off to go on a short-term trip, nothing. And I was super frustrated. In my personal opinion, I was stuck in the U.S. And that was not a good feeling. So one of my first goals was, I'm going to work for the summer because I had a job lined up. I moved back down to Delaware, which is where I'm from. And I'm gonna work for the summer, and then I'm going to take 2 to 4 months and go volunteer somewhere because I got to get out of this country. For some of you that love this country, I'm sorry, but I do not all the time. And so I spent the next 5 years of my life working for anywhere from 4 to 6 months. I think the longest stint that I stayed in the U.S. was like a year. But I often was working two jobs and saving up like mad, trying to spend little to no money other than paying off my college loans, which I did thankfully in 2013. So I am now debt-free. But I ended up going and volunteering from anywhere from 2 to 6 months in different countries. So I have lots of different places that I've been. I've literally been on 6 out of the 7 continents, and I've been in over 12 countries. If you have questions or want to know anything about any of my trips, you are more than welcome to ask me later on. But what I found out was that I more or less was just doing this to kind of like feed my need, but it wasn't sustainable. I couldn't continue to work two jobs and then go and pay for myself to volunteer. And I was always working like mad, and I really wasn't able to do anything long term. And so I felt like before I went on my last 3 month mission trip to Malaysia, I felt like the Lord was laying it on my heart that when I came back, something was going to be different, and I needed to prepare for a move. I had no idea where, I had no idea doing what, but I knew there was going to be a move involved. And so when I came back from Malaysia, before I jumped back into work, I spent time kind of sorting, organizing, and preparing my things for a move. And I did all of that before I went into back into working. And it was that summer that I found out about Extreme. So that's kind of the version of how I got here. Let's see, might be a little bit, there we go. And so during this time of my traveling and whatnot, I relearned that I needed to be submitting to whatever the Lord was laying on my heart, and I needed to be obedient, even though it didn't look like the thoughts that I had in my head, even though it wasn't under the timeline of what I had. I remembered that I needed to have that childlike faith back. I needed to bring that back and not worry so much about the kind of ins and outs of things. And so in that space where I was relearning my childlike faith and trying to let go of all of the crazy demands that the world had placed on me, I said yes to Extreme, which we also call EXNM for short, because I know Nazarenes love acronyms. It's your favorite thing. So that's my humor for you this morning. So we have support raised positions, all of us, all the way up to our CEO. And I said yes to that, and that was super scary, because the one thing that I had kind of like said to God was like, I will go anywhere and I will do anything, but I want it to be a paid position. I don't want to have to raise my support. And I feel like he was sitting up there going, that's funny. So instead, you know, I felt that this was the door that the Lord was opening. I had asked him to make it very clear. I am a person who doesn't like to get things wrong. And I said, okay, I will put out feelers everywhere, applications all over, any job that I think that I might be able to do. And Lord, I just want you to close every door that's not right and only keep open the right door, because I don't want to make the wrong choice. And so, funny enough, I actually had applied for Extreme before I knew that it was a support race position, and I was like, that was tricky, God. And then about 1 week before I got the offer from Extreme, I got notices from applications I had put out months before, 3-4 months before. Every single other door of opportunity closed the week before. The only thing left in my basket was Extreme. And I was like, God, now you're scaring me. I don't understand what's going on right now. And I'm like, I was going back and forth between, well, if this is a no, I don't know where to go from here because my summer job is almost over because this is August now and I'm running out of time here. You know, I can work through September, maybe I can buy myself October, but then I got no plans. So for me, that's running tight on time. And I said, and if it's a yes, then I've got to raise support. So I'm in a like not great zone either way, God, like this is not funny. And then I remember like having some pretty serious talks with my best friend and she was like, look, you asked for this, so you gotta lay off, you know, like you gotta let it be what it is. And the next week God said, you know, this is the job for you by having that offer made. And so I said, well, I'm gonna be obedient and say yes, even though it's scary and it doesn't make sense and I'm a little bit concerned. And so I did, and I'm thankful to say that I moved out to Idaho in November, early November of 2016. I started working part-time in December because I wasn't fully funded. I still wasn't fully funded by January, but I was more than 85% funded, and so they let me start working full-time. And so my contract, my 2-year contract ends in October, and I am planning to renew, but with different a different job description potentially. I'm petitioning for that right now. I would like to move out of the country because remember I said this is not my calling. And so I'm hoping to move down south and into South America and become specifically the short-term volunteer coordinator. So that is not approved yet, but I feel highly that I have a good leg to stand on for making my case, and that is my plan. So the goal for me is to be moving sometime between January and April of next year to join whatever our next team will be in training for language school and then start living down in South America. So that's kind of where I am with my journey with Extreme. And now I'm going to switch over into kind of some of my goals for you guys today.
Can we stop and pray for them?
Yeah.
That'd be okay?
Absolutely, like yes.
Father, we just come before you now. You've heard this young lady's heart.
Yes.
Lord, how she's prepared and she's learned to be obedient to you. And Lord, she has a desire of her heart, Lord, and we know what your word says about that. Mm-hmm. So I just pray right now, Lord, that you'd give her the desire of her heart.
Amen.
Yes.
Lord, that you'd work things out for your glory and your honor. And mm-hmm. when she's there, Lord, she would thrive and that she would do very well. Father, we thank you for your love and for your direction in our life, the way you lead us. And we thank you for Kirby's life.
Amen.
We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Stan. So I just want to share with you guys a little bit of my goal for why I'm here today. And then I will dive into more about Extreme. So my number one goal today is to encourage you. I want to encourage you that your age, your education, your experience don't make you inadequate, over or underqualified, because I've heard both arguments before, or insufficient to be used by Jesus.
Sure.
That is my number one goal today. It doesn't matter where you're at in your journey, you can be used, and God will use you if you allow him to.
That's right.
And you can make a great impact. I think that that's something that we often miss, you know, because we're just one person. How are we, little nobody, is going to do something? Yes?
It only takes one person to help make a change.
That is absolutely correct. That is absolutely correct. And so I really hope that if you take nothing else away from today, that you feel empowered to be used by Jesus. And that you know that there is nothing too big and nothing too small. In the kingdom, expansion, it doesn't matter if you just give an encouraging word or a smile to someone, you don't really know how much impact that can make. Or if you do something as big as, I don't know, pay someone's bill who's struggling, or, you know, help them to get somewhere. There's all manner of different options. But I think the important thing that I want you to know is that you can make a difference, and that you will be used if you allow it. And as I have been saying kind of off and on, the most important thing you can do is to be obedient. Even when you're afraid or unsure, there have been numerous times in my life that that was true. But I always know that if I take that step of faith, no matter how big or how small it is, that He's going to show up. And that's kind of my next point. With obedience, Jesus is going to do great things. You're going to see Him do great things. And you're going to get more faith as you move along. You're going to see Him continue to show up to do what He says that He's going to do. And when He's showing up, then your faith gets a little bit stronger each time. And it's a little bit easier, not maybe drastic, but it's a little bit easier to say yes the next time, because you can remember that the last 5 times He did what He said He was going to do. That's called building history. And when we build history, we can grow our faith. So taking that small step can make big impacts down the road, because it can help you be ready to take the big step later on. And then my final word of big encouragement is that, just what it says here, with just a little faith, remember we just talked about building faith, Jesus says you, yes, each and every one of you, can move a mountain if that's what He calls you to do. So there's nothing too big and nothing too small that He can't help you to do. Now, one of my favorite verses that I like to use is actually Mark 10, 13 through 16. And the reason I like this verse so much is because Extreme is very adamant about using a lot of young adults who, like myself at age 18, were told, you have to go to college and you have to do this and you have to have these qualifications. And I'm not saying any of that is bad. But for someone who feels a call to missions, that isn't the only way to be used by God. And so this is a verse that to me shows why, or at least one part of why it's so important to not just say you have to be a certain age or you have to be a certain qualification. This is one of my favorites for sure. So let's read it. People were bringing little children to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, He was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to Me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And He took the children in His arms, placed His hands on them, and blessed them. Now to me, I think this is crazy. The disciples tried to keep the children back so that they wouldn't bother Jesus. And yet He makes a display and says, no, the kingdom of heaven belongs to these children. Remember when I talked about that childlike faith? Well, unless adults are willing to have that childlike faith, we don't get to go to heaven. We don't get to receive, because we have to trust. We have to believe that God always has our best interest at heart. And so I love this verse because it reminds me that I have to hold on to what I felt way back at 11 or 12. When I get confused or off kilter, or the demands and pressures of the world start feeling overwhelming, like, how am I going to pay the bills? How is this going to happen? How am I going to get here? How am I going to do this? What am I going to do? Maybe, you know, you're trying to decide if you want to go to college, or if you do go to college, what are you going to study? All of the different things. But the really cool thing is that this is a striking difference that Jesus is sharing. Because He's basically saying, youth are not inadequate. They actually hold the key. So I hope that it's an encouraging verse to you as it is to me. Not only to say that you can go at any age, but also for us to encourage the young ones not to lose that. not to lose that heart, that fire, that passion, that desire, because I feel like that is one of the biggest things that I have been tasked with. I want to not only go myself and be obedient, but I also want to inspire and encourage others who didn't have people coming alongside of them, inspiring and encouraging them and saying, yes, if this is what the Lord is calling you to, follow it, go with it. So I hope for you guys that are here that you at least can hear that and feel that passion, that desire. Yes. Okay. And now I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Extreme, so we can hopefully clear up things and kind of get you in that role. So Extreme is, in a nutshell, a nonprofit organization that sends young adults to plant Nazarene churches in large cities. Okay. And our team consists of, generally speaking, 10 young adults from North and South America. We usually send 5 from North America and 5 from South America. A team support couple, which is a married couple who tends to be kind of like the logisticians. They help find the places, set it up for them in terms of where they're going to be staying. They also help manage any of the strife and struggles that are going to happen over that time period. With the 40-40s, they are the mentors, the encouragers, the ones to help them problem solve and think through and keep going. And then also we hire a national pastor. We typically try to get a pastor that is from the same country where we're planting the church, or as close to that country as possible. We want them to already speak the language and understand the culture. So that's kind of what our church planting team looks like as a typical model. And they serve together for 2.5 years. The first 5 to 6 months is all in training together. So all of that team will come together for training. Those that don't know the language will have language training. And then there'll also be church planting training and culture training. They'll have them dig deep into spiritual disciplines. There's quite a few different facets and pieces that go on there. And then they spend 2 years in the city where they'll be planting the churches. And our mission is to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And I did say that 3 times intentionally. We don't just want to teach someone how to be a disciple, but we want to teach someone how to teach another person how to be a disciple. Because our goal from the get-go is sustainability. We want them to go in and raise up leaders to do what they are showing them how to do. So not just to raise up a leader who can become the worship pastor, but a worship pastor who wants to raise up a leader to replace themselves. That is the goal from the get-go. We are looking for potential, but not just potential for our own replacement, but potential for someone else to be able to have that heart and that desire. And just a super side note, we are super excited that our Cordoba, Argentina church plant wants to start a sister or daughter church. And so we are in talks and what that can look like and how that will be different than what we've done in the past. But I'm excited that we have a church who wants to plant another church already. I think that that is super amazing. That is what we are going for. That is what our heart's desire is. And I'm going to share testimony with you in a little bit of a guy who was affected at one of our churches in South America, a South American, who has turned out to now be a 40-40. He wanted to do what was done for him. So I'm going to share his testimony a little bit for you in a few minutes. But I just want to give you that. Those are a couple of really exciting pieces in my particular book, at least, that talk about kind of what our model stands for and that it is working. All right. So let's do, for some of you in this room, you may like stats and data. And for those of you, that's what this slide is about. So we have been in existence for 11 years, and we have, in that time, planted more than 90 churches. I believe we are preparing to plant our 95th. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's right. We have sent over 350 missionaries, and we've worked in 7 countries. Another thing that I think is super awesome about what we do is that, generally speaking, those that go to the field, even on short-term trips, end up generally coming home and being a part of local leadership, whether that is getting more involved in their church or doing something in their community or starting a prayer time slot because we are super heavy on prayer and fasting as an organization wide, and you kind of get that when you go on our short-term teams. You will have time every day dedicated to prayer and worship, and so with that, a lot of people start a new routine when they come home, and we have seen some pretty awesome things happen. So I'd just like to mention that it's not something that stays on the field. It doesn't die there. We see a lot of folks come home and still get involved in ways that they weren't already involved or get more involved. And we believe that because God is in control, changing hearts will change the world.
Yes.
That is our motto, I guess. If our mission is making disciples, our motto is changing hearts will change the world. And the great thing is that you can be a part of this change in lots of different capacities. And so I am going to share, I do want to tell you real quick, we base our work on four things: unity in Christ, passion, discipleship, and growth. And I am going to share with you some of the ways that you could specifically get involved with Extreme, but I want to show you a 4-minute video, I promise it's not boring, that is going to tell you a little bit about what I think is one of our coolest things for young adults. It's our 40-day summer experience. The short version of it is you literally spend 40 days in Ecuador. Usually about 2 weeks of that or so is spent in some real deep spiritual training and kind of digging deep into learning and hearing God's voice and understanding his discernment for your walk, whether you are called to the mission field or not. And the rest of the time is spent working alongside of our 40-40s, our current missionaries, on a church plant, and sometimes more than one if we can get you to more than one. And so literally you get exposed to, it's like interning and working alongside them. You can get a real great feel for what it is that we're doing, and most everyone who leaves this experience either feels they're definitely called to the mission field and they want to know how to take those next steps right away, or they're like, I should stick to short-term missions, or I should stay in the U.S. And that's perfectly fine, because we want it to be a place for you to discern what your call is. What we don't want is to have you sign up, go through all the process, get you on the field, and 3 months in say, this isn't right for me, I'm going home, because that really hurts your team all around. So we'd prefer you go on the 40 days and get a definite answer from the Lord first. But I like to show this because I think it's a super cool thing. I'm a little bit annoyed that I'm too old to go.
Just experience what God is doing in a culture different than your own. But we've got just the thing for you. It's called the 40 days.
Are there lights?
That's definitely different than any trip I've been on before.
That's because it is that one. With so much happening in these 5.5 weeks, there's service projects and outreach projects and this. There are times of worship, times of prayer, and this. There's a time for group study and personal development, and even this. Really? During the 40-day experience, there are many, many opportunities to just connect with God, to learn from Him, love Him, and share Him, as we've been called to do. Oh, and also come away changed by Him. Here's a closer look at what the 40-day adventure can look like.
Today, we are in a community, and we are doing a work project for a community center.
A major part of the 40-day experience is getting to serve right alongside the current 40-40s and learning from them.
Super nurturing and just encouraging.
And together, the work is done as a team in the community to spread the gospel and help grow the kingdom.
Today, we held an event in this park kind of thing. Kids approaching you, hugging you. Just seeing them pray and just seeing them receive God in such a loving way.
Out for people of all ages the message of God's love and faithfulness.
And I could feel like it was speaking to them in some way. I expected something cool, but not like that. That was amazing.
So too are the responses.
And so, how do you
in the schools, at the parks.
Oh,
a very important component to the 40-day experience is time spent in prayer, worship, and study.
5 a.m. Worship on Tuesday mornings. That's my favorite.
To get up an hour even earlier.
People are
experience as an opportunity to get out of our noisy culture to also reflect and grow.
There's definitely the emphasis on the quiet times.
Along with group discussions on what's being learned through the studies.
That's why it's important for you guys to think about how you're going to internalize this. Also on the 40-day experience,
get ready.
There's a fair share of exploration and adventure with zip lines, tree swings, waterfalls. Perhaps it should be called the 40-day experience. It's plural because there are so many of them held during the 5-week stay. Oh, some great opportunities also to make lasting friendships.
So I don't know about you, but I kind of wish that I was 29 again, because I would really like to go on that. Nevertheless, it's a great opportunity for anyone that is interested in or considering missions that is basically graduated from high school before they turn 30. So there's lots of different options out there for young adults to kind of do gap years and whatnot. This is not a year, this is only 40 days, but it does happen every summer. So if you want more information about that, I have other ways to get you information as well. And I'd be more than happy to talk to anyone that is interested in connecting on that. Now for some other opportunities, because I know there's several of you out there who are like me and don't fit in that category of age. So there's lots of opportunities that we have. There's some things that everyone can do. Our number one thing that we want anyone and everyone to do is pray. That is the key element. If we don't have people praying, then we've got nothing. So that is something that I would highly ask and encourage. This is the most important thing that we seek and something that everyone can do. Another awesome way to get involved and actually go on the field and see something are short-term trips. Generally, those are 10 to 14 days. You can join a trip that we have planned, or as long as there are, I think, 9 or 10 people from your church or group or district, we can plan a short-term trip for you. And so that's another option to kind of customize things. I believe you have to have 9 or 10 people, but again, if you're interested in more information about that, I would be more than happy to talk to you about that. And then something else that everyone can do is refer people. So if you know a young adult, or if you know someone who is great in admin skills, for example, we have lots of need right now in administration, or maybe you know a great couple who might be interested in being a team support couple. They don't commit to anything by having a conversation, but I would really love you to refer them to Extreme, whether that's to me specifically or to our website, just to get more information. But we would love to have a conversation with anyone that is interested. So that's another way that everyone can participate. If you happen to be 18 to 29, or you know someone that's 18 to 29, the 40-day experience that I just showed you the video of is really awesome. But we also are looking for 40-40. So that's what we call our young adult missionaries that serve on the field for 2.5 years. That is a great way for someone who's definitely got a call to missions and a passion for missions to get invested in longer-term missions in a way to kind of like start and boost them. And they will do that on a team like I described that's both North and South American. So there's lots of options there. Having them explore kind of more of what their mission's call is. And we would love to talk to anyone who might be interested in that. For those of you that are older than 29, that's me, married, or maybe you just don't fit in any of these other particular categories well, We, like I said, we have needs, great needs in the administration team. Mobilization coordinators, that's one of the things that I do. That I mentioned earlier, we call a fancy term for recruiters. Accountants, teachers, media designers, IT. We actually have quite a need in finance at this moment as well. Counselors, and more or less, there's tons of different options. So if you are interested in serving, you can choose to serve. Most of the jobs can be done stateside or internationally, depending on your choice. Some of them need to be in one space or another, but we have an admin both here in the US and abroad. And then if you happen to be a married couple, maybe you'd be interested in being a team support couple. And so that is what Tim and Rebecca from your district have been doing for the last 2.5 years. Again, like I said, that's a married couple who is kind of mentoring, leading, encouraging the young adults, the 40-40s, on a church plant. And they also help be the logisticians. They help kind of find the place to stay and make sure all the bills get paid and those sort of things. So there's a couple different spots going on. I don't know if I put this on. I did not. A church body as a whole can also choose to get involved with Extreme by basically becoming a mother or a sister church on one of our, or to one of our church plants. So there's a financial piece to that, but I think what's more important and exciting about that is that you get to encourage and strengthen the church around the world. And by us helping you partner with a specific church plant that's happening, you can actually know what they're doing. You can help encourage them in what they're doing. It's not just a money partnership. So that's a really cool space as well. And then that gets you discounts in order to be able to go down and send short-term teams, so you can actually see what they are doing, what your money is doing. So that's just another cool way. Then I want to share with you, some of you are probably not called to go state set or go internationally, and maybe Extreme isn't a right fit for you. So one of the things that I always like to share when I'm at a place where I'm trying to encourage people to do missions is to get involved in your own church ministry. You know, maybe you feel too young or too old, or it just doesn't work for you to get involved with Extreme. Then definitely help out with the children's ministry or nursery at your local church. Find out if you can learn or help out with the sound or the technology stuff that I don't want anything to do with, but we need those people. You know, help to decorate or rearrange for the holidays or big events. Just help clean the church or do yard work. Get involved in your local church ministry in whatever way can work for you. We want you to be involved wherever you are. And the other way that I think is great for you to get involved is to serve in your local community. So by no means is my list exhaustive, but these are some things to help you start getting in the right mindset. So share your story. Maybe that could be with a friend at school, at camp. That could be at an after-school event, a sporting event, and that even goes for parents at sporting events. You can talk to the people around you. Maybe a party. Help serve a meal at a local soup kitchen, shelter, or special program. Assist the elderly with cleaning. You can help them with yard work. Maybe if you have skills and you can help them fix up things. You know, whatever your abilities allow. Help to sort, organize, or work at a local shelter or thrift store or something like that around you. Collect food for a local pantry or food drive. Bake cookies or some other wonderful delicacy that you can take to your local community, because that gives you a reason to knock on people's doors and say hello. And that can lead to conversations where you can find about what you can pray for them with, or where they go to church, or if they don't go to church, or how you could be assisting them. Spend time playing with kids, veterans, the elderly, or any number of other things that you can come up with. I think that it's really important to just get involved in whatever ways the Lord is allowing and letting you. I'm just excited to be able to be here to encourage you. So I'm going to kind of close out my time a little bit with a story from the field, and then I'm going to give you some options for questions if you have them. And I do have a couple of quick ways for you to get kind of like on our newsletter and stuff as well. But let me share with you Marcos's story. So Marcos was a troubled teen. I'm going to have some pictures of Marcos up there for you. Marcos was a troubled teenager in Ecuador. He suffered from alcohol addiction, sexual promiscuity, pornography, anger, and depression. One night, in a drunken rage, he threatened to kill his parents, and they kicked him out of the house. Bouncing around between the homes of his friends and siblings, he entered into a deep and dark depression that turned suicidal. Marcos attempted to take his life not once, not twice, but three separate times. He was definitely lost and in a dark place. He came to know the 4040 missionaries Ariel from Ecuador and David from the USA through his sister's home Bible study at an Extreme Nazarene church plant. The missionaries would tell you he appeared to have it all together until they learned of his deep struggles. His desire to play on the worship team was met with just one condition. He needed to attend a spiritual retreat that we call an encounter and study the first 3 months of leadership classes. Marcos's life was changed forever when the presence of God, when he felt the call on of the presence of God on his life. He felt that he was overtaken during a message on identity and self-worth, and he completely collapsed. He woke up a changed man. No longer was Marcos looking to just play on the worship team. He wanted to share with everyone that he knew about the hope and freedom in Christ. He happily studied through an entire year of leadership classes. Remember, he only had to do 3 months. And he served on the worship team. But he quickly became a strong leader in the church. He spoke in the youth service, and he even chose to lead in his own home Bible study. A couple years later at a youth camp, he felt the call to be a missionary, to do what had been done for him, to go and tell others about Jesus. Marcos was accepted in 2016 to become the first ever 4040 missionary in Extreme Nazarene, who was the fruit of a prior 4040 missionary. Today, Marcos is serving alongside a team of 4040 missionaries in Latacunga, Ecuador, to plant the very first church of the Nazarene there. And the cool thing is, you could choose to go on a short-term trip to Latacunga and have the opportunity to meet Marcos in person. I think that's pretty swell. I only want to share this story with you because I want you to know that there are lots of impacts being made. Marcos is one of many. There's lots of options for you to meet lots of different missionaries with their own stories, but I just think his is such an amazing story that I wanted to share it with you. I do want to open up for some questions if there's anyone who has questions. Those can be questions about Extreme, about my call, about my walk, local ministry options or whatnot. So we're going to do that in just a second. I also have some material and some cards that I'm going to have handed out. The response cards that I have are if you want more information. There are three spots on there: giving, going, and praying. If you want to commit to praying, that's just the bottom box. Going is if you want more information. 2 weeks is short-term, anything short-term related. The 40 days is for those that are interested in more information about that summer program. And 2 years is anyone who's interested in anything long-term, whether that's administration, team support, or being a 4040. And the top portion is just for you to fill out your own information. So if anyone wants to fill one of those out, feel free to do so. I'm just going to have them over there where you can pick them up. I've also got them at my table. But I have some materials to hand out to you. And I'm going to break all rules you've ever heard of. Pull out your cell phones, please. I'm going to skip through this because I told you about those. All right. So I've got two options for you. If you want to sign up for our newsletter, please text the word emails to 555-888 and it will prompt you to send your email. And that will sign you up for our monthly newsletter so you can keep updated about what we are doing and kind of what we have going on. If you want to know more right now about the options and opportunities within Extreme and different ways you can get involved by going, then text the word missionary to 555-888. And yes, you can do both. So I just want to make sure I throw that up there for you. I also have a table out there if you want to come and talk to me personally. And I have cards with my number and some with my face in case you are like me and you are bad at names and great at faces. So I'm going to leave those up there, but does anyone have a question that they would like me to answer? Don't all speak at once. Okay.
About what is the yearly support dollar-wise combination?
Well, it depends an awful lot on where you're going and what you're doing, but each of our missionaries is support raised individually. And so, for example, I would say fairly average for 40-40s, which is that 2.5 year commitment, I think it's usually around 50, maybe 60,000 if it's a really expensive country, because that covers your flights. They make sure that you have flights down and back, and then also everyone is allowed to come home at least once, and so those flights are incorporated as well, which unfortunately flights to and from the US can be quite pricey. But that covers their language school, all of their training materials and time, and then all that they need to live in country. So I would say the cheapest I have seen on someone's docket was somewhere in the 40s. But most of the time I think it's 50s-ish for, again, like I said, 2.5 years, which really breaks down to not being bad at all. Team support couples is a little bit higher because they have more on their docket and they're raising for two people. I think, don't quote me on this, but I think an average for team support couples, depending on with or without kids, averages between 100 and 150 for the same about 2.5 time frame. The church plants themselves, Extreme has folks who raise funds, or the church partnerships, that is $100,000. I think they say 98, but I just say 100,000 for my, sorry, my phone is doing weird things. For easy sake, about half of that goes towards being able to purchase a building or purchase land and build a building, whatever that can look like. The other half goes towards a bunch of different things, but the missionary pastors that we hire, they sign a longer contract. They sign about a 4 to 5 year contract. We help subsidize them on a weaning scale for the first 2 years only. So that starts high and goes low as we help them build up the church so that the church can be supporting them. So a portion of that other half goes towards that, as well as some other incidentals. I don't know the whole breakdown, but I could find that for you if you wanted it. Does that help answer your question? Okay. Any other questions, quickly?
How much is it for the kids to go for 40 days?
40 days generally is $2,590 for all on-the-ground costs. That includes all of the like cool activities that we have them doing, plus their airfare. So I usually say with airfare, you're talking $38,000 to $4,000 for the average person. It could be a little less, but that's about an average with airfare. Okay, if you have any other questions, feel free to come to my table. I will give you cards that have my contact information on them, and I thank you for your time. Just hang on 1 second while I hand out some materials. Do you have anything else to say?
No. Thank you, Kirby.
Thank you.